happy 4th of July on the 7th. If you're glad you're an American, say amen. 237 years we've had this nation, and I'm glad to be called an American. But I think the song the little lady sang just before I came to preach is very applicable to where we are today. The nation of America needs to bow the knee and acknowledge we're nothing without Almighty God. We need a major move, a major revival of God's people that will sweep through this old land and spare us by the grace of God. I'm always thrilled to come to Brookside. I'm excited about your past and present and your future, and it is a joy to be called a friend of your pastor. He said in 1975, he came to the Wilds. At that time, he was 15, and I was 16. And from here on, I'll tell the truth. We have had a delight for knowing each other many, many years. I'm thankful that you saw fit to invite him to come here, and God called him to Pastor Brookside. I couldn't be more excited for this ministry and the future of it. It's good to see Brother and Mrs. Huffman. It's been a few years since we've seen y'all. And I don't know how many meetings I held for you, brother. I ran out of sermons and had to quit. And so we were there on many times. They put together an area-wide crusade back in 2000. Always good to see them. Very, very faithful folks. And I'm excited about what God wants to do today. Do you have the Word of God? Would you open it, please, to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. I'll leave this afternoon. And we'll go to Camp Joy and start there tonight through Friday. I am not a young man anymore, but we're booked up in camps for the next 3 or 4 years. I stand amazed teenagers come here, gray-haired dude. But they are, and we're having more people come to Christ and surrender than I can ever remember, so the Bible still works, and the gospel still works. And so we're glad for the opportunity to share with you today. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, would you stand please, and we'll read verses 9 and following. So Hannah rose up after they'd eaten in Shiloh and after they'd drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept sore, verse 11 of chapter 1. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, remember me. Not forget thine handmaid, but will give thine handmaid a man child. Then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Verse 20, the prayer's answered. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. We'll talk to you this morning about how to get your prayers answered. How to know that when you speak to God, He's listening and desiring to respond to you. Prevailing Prayer, the title of the message. Thank you. Be seated, please. And Father, we give you glory for who you are. Thank you for our nation. We intercede for it today. We need a major move of God among your people so that this nation can turn back to the God that founded this nation. And we pray this morning with the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. We'll give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Greatest privilege of the child of God is the privilege of prayer. God is inviting you to talk to Him. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, I'll answer thee, show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Have you ever seriously considered that the God who made you, who holds your next breath in His hands, this awesome, majestic, wonderful, dynamic God, is inviting you and me into His throne room to carry on a perpetual conversation with Him? Hebrews 4:16, let us come forth therefore boldly before the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. No greater privilege than the privilege of prayer. But there's no greater problem than the problem of prayer among most of God's people. Some years ago, a periodical was put on my desk that read, the average Christian prays 4 minutes a day. That concerned me until I read a second that said the average preacher prays 7 minutes a day. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever is wrong with us and this nation and our homes is wrong with our prayer life. I'm not here to insult you. I'm here by the grace of God to inspire and instruct you in a matter that is not minor but major. It's called prayer. The word pray means to ask. We have before us today a story of a little lady by the name of Hannah. Hannah married a man by the name of Elkanah. For some reason, Elkanah married two women. I do not believe it was God's will. God made one man for one woman for one lifetime. Preacher, how do you know? He didn't make Adam and Eve, Francis and Sarah. He only made Adam and Eve. For some reason, this guy married two women. This you can be sure of. You take two women, put them in the same house, under the same roof of the same man, you got trouble, and you can take that to the bank. Peninnah had children. Hannah had none. She was barren. She's a good Old Testament picture of a New Testament problem. She was barren, had no fruit of her womb physically. Most born-again believers are barren and have no fruit of their life spiritually. John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Whatever that is, part of it is the fruit of another soul. Are you aware, Zondervan Research said recently, 97% of believers have no evangelistic outreach at all? Then there's the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against this there is no law. Are you a disciplined person? Are you a teachable, meek person? Are you a patient person? Here's Hannah, and she says, from a human standpoint, I'm barren. I will never have a baby boy, but what my husband and I cannot do, God Almighty can. Here's her prayer, and she gets an answer, and so we ought to learn how to pray. Look down, please, in verse number 11, where the Bible says, she vowed a vow. If you take notes, and I wish you would, write down, when you pray, you must come seriously. Nothing more serious to the Hebrew mind than a vow. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5:5, better not to vow a vow than to vow and defer to pay. It was serious. Judges 11:30, I've opened my mouth unto the Lord, said Jephthah, I cannot turn back. It was serious. My good friend, if God's going to hear you, you must come fervently, not flippantly. It is not casual, carnal Christians that God will hear. It's committed Christians who made up their mind to seek after God. Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him. They call upon him in truth or sincerity. Hosea 7:14, God said, I'm not going to answer you, for they have not cried unto me with their heart. You see, when you come, Jeremiah 29:13 says, you'll seek me and find me. When you search for me, get it now, with your whole heart. Half-hearted praying, you may as well take a nap. Hebrews 11:6, he that cometh unto God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We start year 35 in evangelism. God's done some wonderful things. We're seeing more people saved than we have ever seen in our ministry. God is blowing open doors overseas and home and starting churches and Bible institutes and all kinds of things, but none of it without being saturated in prayer. I was going to preach in Puerto Rico. My friend Johnny Daniels called me. He said, you'll have liberty to preach. Some of us have been praying and fasting for 40 days seeking God. Brother Huffman, in Sunday school, six precious adults trusted Jesus Christ, and I was just teaching a simple lesson. Scores of people came to the King. Recently in Monroe, North Carolina, with my friend Brother Tim Cruz, they fasted, prayed, and sought God. We had 115 precious people say yes to Jesus Christ in a four-day meeting. Preacher, that's impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. The problem is not in heaven. The problem is here. The problem is not that God is impotent, for he is all power. Powerful. The problem is we're not really desperately seeking God. When you come, you must come seriously. Look again at the text. She said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed give unto the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. You go, dear friend, the word handmaid means female slave. She came seriously and she came submissively. It is high time in the United States of America we who are in a serious condition get submissive and stop bossing God and start begging God. I pass by a church. Most of the time we hear God bless America. This one said America bless God. And one of the reasons we're not seeing great things happen in this nation is because of our sin. No nation can go as far as our nation has gone without repenting and ever expect to have any hope. Are you aware today almost 4,000 innocent lives will be taken? They call it abortion. God calls it murder. Since 1973, in the last 40 years, 56 million innocent Americans have been executed. Oh, preacher, what about rape? And what about the health of the mother? And what about incest? Their own facts tell you 1% in the last 40 years, 1% had anything to do with what I just mentioned. It is murder and God's judgment upon this nation. Who would have ever believed that a sitting president would now push the gay agenda and would push same-sex marriage. There is no such thing as same-sex marriage. There is a same-sex sin, Leviticus 18:22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as thou liest with womankind. It is an abomination, and somebody ought to tell Mr. Obama that. Our nation is now almost $17 trillion in debt. The hope for our young people is zero apart from God. But the Bible still says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, not strut your stuff in Hollywood and profane him, but humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Somebody said that was only for Israel. Well, then just take the Old Testament and throw it away. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, my friend. And we today are God's people if we've been saved by the grace of God. Psalm 9 and verse 12, he forgets not the cry of the humble. Psalm 86:1, bow down that ear and hear, for I am poor and needy. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If somebody taught you and you have believed all your life that God hears every prayer, you've not believed the truth. If you're sitting here today and you're unkind to your wife and you demean her and put her down, God's not listening to your prayer. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, God says the husband is to love the wife and treat her as the weaker vessel, as heirs together of the grace of God, lest your prayers be hindered. Sir, you can strut your stuff, but don't ever talk to God until you come and confess and then deal with your wife and ask her forgiveness. You may be here, lady, and you are the church gossip. Today it's done in high tech by texting. And you may think it's cute, but the next time you pray, forget it. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying. And until you deal with God and that person that you're maligning, God's not going to hear your prayer. Teenager, you can mistreat and disobey and disrespect your parents, but Ephesians 6:1 still in the Bible. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. This is the first commandment, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long upon the earth. Now, you can disrespect and disobey them, just don't ever plan to pray. You see, we've got this idea, we can live any way we want and then send a smoke signal to heaven. Isaiah 59:2 says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God so that he will not hear. If you want to be heard, you must come seriously. If you want to be heard, you must come submissively. But look again at the text. Given a thine handmaid a man child. If you want to be heard, you must come third specifically. She's not praying around the world. We have generic pharmaceuticals and generic grocery stores. We have generic prayer meetings that sounds like this. God bless us. God help us. God use us. I do realize there are times we don't know what we ought to pray, and the Holy Spirit prays for us. But more times than not, we know what we ought to pray, but we're not being specific with God. This lady is asking for a little boy. His name will be Samuel, gift of God. She knows from a human standpoint, impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Listen to the phrase, let your request, specific request, be made known unto God. Mark 11:24, therefore whatsoever things you desire when you pray, things you desire, believe ye shall receive them, ye shall have them. How long since God specifically answered your prayer? I said in the last session, I would encourage you to get yourself a prayer journal. This is a hymn book. We'll let it represent a prayer journal. Preacher, where can I buy a prayer journal? You can stop down by CVS, Walgreens, Kmart, or Walmart. They all sell them. Really? Yes. They look a lot like a spiral notebook, but if you write prayer journal on the outside, you can sanctify it. Open to page 1. And pray for unsaved relatives. How many of you have unsaved family members? Would you raise your hand? Vast majority of you. Not trying to hurt, trying to help you. Do you really pray for them? I mean specifically, seriously call out to God for them. Listen, when they die, there is no praying for the dead. When they spend eternity away from God, you'll wish that you had sought him. My sister married an unsaved man. Dave was one of the nicest guys you've ever met. You've heard the phrase, he'll give you the shirt off his back. He'd give you the shirt off his back and then peel skin. That's how nice of a guy he was. But nice guys do not go to heaven. Except a man be born again, John 3:3, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I witnessed to him, others witnessed to him, and he would do what some have done in your family. He would walk off when it got tense. One day, sitting eating with my sister and brother-in-law, he said, "Can you come over to the house?" I said, "That's unusual." I gave him the gospel again. He listened with rapt attention. He bought a couple of bikes at a yard sale, one of each for my daughters. I could only take one home. I got it home, and unbeknownst to me, my daughter Beth, now serving as an ER nurse in missions, sent a note of thanks and gave the gospel in the letter. The next time I was in my hometown, my brother-in-law said, "Can you come over to the house?" I said, "I know God's doing something." So I looked at him and I said, "Dave, don't you think it's about time you get saved?" May I say to you this morning, some of you have heard the gospel many times. Don't you think it's about time you get saved? He looked back at me and said, "I already did." I said, "When did you get saved?" He said, "You told me the last time you were here. I understood it. Your daughter sent a letter. She explained it to me again. I dropped by my bedside and received Jesus Christ." I was excited and mad at the same time. I was excited because he'd been saved, and mad because he'd been saved a month and hadn't called me. His life changed. It was revolutionized. "Preacher, why tell us that?" Because 2 years ago, next month, my sister called me and said, "My husband is dying. He had a mass on his lung as big as my fist. By the time we got to Greensboro, North Carolina, he was in a coma from which he never came out." Listen, you don't witness to a man in a coma. You don't get a man to repent of his sin in a coma. There's no use in praying for him now. I inhaled with him. I wanted to breathe for him. My wife and I stood at the end of the bed. We were not sad he was leaving, because we know where he went, he received the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to pray, you better pray today. If you're going to pray, you better pray seriously and submissively and specifically. Do you pray with your family and for your family? One of the most oft-mentioned complaints from Christian wives about their husband to Christian counselors: "My husband doesn't pray with me." My friend, if you're a husband, you're supposed to be leading your family. You're supposed to be teaching your sons and daughters and wives how to get a hold of Almighty God. Flip the page and pray for your pastor. If you're glad God called Pastor Ken Keltner to become the pastor of Brookside, would you say amen? I love this dear brother, and I want you to know he needs you to intercede for him. If he were standing here, he would say amen to everything I'm saying. Sir, do you have any temptations? You realize if you mess up, you'll hurt his sphere of influence, but if Satan can take him down, he'll hurt this whole church and community. You need to intercede for him. You need to pray for him as he studies. God, give him fresh oil as he preaches. You need to ask God to use his life to bring many to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to pray for this pastoral staff. Let me say to my friend Greg Huffman, we never get too old for people to pray for us. The other morning, a man called me. I don't even know who he was. He said, "I just thought I'd tell you." He said, I've listened to you on the internet, and I just got your phone number. I just told you, I'm praying for you. God bless you. Man, I wanted to jump out of my shoes. Somebody I don't even know is interceding for me. Pray for your pastor, his wife, and all the pastoral staff. Pray for your missionaries. As I understand, there's 36 missionary families that are out from under this church. If I walked up to you, sir, and I said, "Stan, give me the name of 2 missionary families. Everybody in the family, tell me where they're serving, and latest prayer request, could you do it?" Here's a Baptist prayer for missionaries. God bless all the missionaries everywhere in Jesus' name. That will not get it done. I flew into Togo, Africa. My friend picked me up. Been there many years as a missionary. I preached twice before I went to bed. I was dog tired. I heard blood-curdling screams from the village next to the one I was staying in. I said, "What is that?" He said, "They worship demons in that village, and they're calling them up as they do every night." Imagine putting your children to bed in a situation like that. Flip the page and pray for needs that you have. Do you have a spiritual need, a financial need? Do you have an emotional need? Do you have a family need? What kind of need do you have? How long has it been since God specifically answered your prayer? We had over 900 people come to Christ as I preached to the Hindus across India. They worship 350 million gods. Everything and nothing they make a god out of. Suppose on the plane I brought back an 18-year-old Hindu. I brought him to Brookside Baptist Church, and I've been witnessing to him all the way. And I said, "Now, I want you to know that we have one God, and this one God trumps all the other gods because there are no other gods, and this one God answers prayer." And so he walked up to you, sir, and said, "Prove that your God answers prayer. Show me a definite, specific answer from your God, and I will become a believer. Well, that 18-year-old Hindu leave lost or saved? We do a lot of talking about praying, but not much praying. Statisticians tell us between 80 and 90% of young people, when they turn 18 years of age, are going to walk out of church never to return. I'll tell you why. We've got a generation of adults, you and me, that if we don't learn how to pray ourselves, we'll never hand it off to the next generation. I want my son, two daughters, to walk with God. I taught them to pray. They've never embarrassed us. They're all in full-time service serving Jesus Christ. We're teaching our grandchildren to pray. When I drop dead and I don't exist anymore, I don't really care if they drive like I drive, if they hunt like I hunt. I don't really care if any of them preach like I preach, but I do want them to learn to pray so when Grandpa and Dad is gone, they can still get a hold of the horns of the altar. It's time, my friend, that this nation among born-again believers learns how to pray and pray specifically. Take your Bible, please, and turn to Luke 18. Luke 18. I want to give you a gospel commercial. Somebody asked me one time, do you have to pray to get saved? And the answer is yes. Preacher, that's not true. It is true because the word pray means to ask. Therefore, if you do not ask, you will not be saved. You will never be saved sitting in church getting zapped. You'll never be saved driving down the highway with a warm, fuzzy feeling. You'll never be saved sleeping at night by osmosis. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:13. We must ask. Here's a prayer meeting. Pick it up in Luke 18:10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a publican. Would you look this way? Two men praying. Pharisee, the literal word means separation, separated one. These men fasted 2 out of every 7 days, 10% of everything they owned they gave to the temple, had Bible verses in their clothing. Nobody here is that spiritual. A separated man, publican. The publican was an IRS agent, normally Jewish, working for the Roman Empire. In my vocabulary from down south, we would say he was crooked as a dog's hind leg. This man was separated. This man was sinful. This man was honored. This man was hated. This man was respected. This man was rejected. They're both in the temple for the same thing. Watch the prayer in verse 11 of the separated man. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee. Look up this way. You've been around those people. God, can't even say God. God. If they ever shake your hand, count your fingers. You're in trouble. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I. He prayed to himself. Much praying today is self-centered. He commended himself, compared himself, and condemned this old publican. Now let's go over here this side. The publican won't look up. He beats himself on his chest. He said 7 simple scriptural words. God, that's the right person to pray to. Be merciful, have compassion, pity, and forgiveness on me, a sinner. It means the only sinner in the house. Now, many people would say God heard the religious man and he rejected the rebellious man, but just the opposite is true. Look down, please, in verse 14. I tell you, this man, the man who prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner, this man went down to his house justified. If you have an account in heaven, which all of you do, and you have sinned against God, which all of us have, the only way to get that sin canceled, forgiven, and not existent anymore is for God to justify you, to take what he did on the cross through forgiveness, blood, and mercy, and cancel the debt. So he looked down at this man and said, you're clean, you're forgiven, you're justified, you're going to heaven. And then he goes on and says, rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. God looked down at the religious man who compared himself and commended himself and condemned others. And he said, this man is delivered and you are damned. This man is justified and you're condemned. This man will go to heaven and you'll go to hell. Jesus said in his day, the religious leaders would not have any precedent over the prostitutes and the publicans. He said, they will go to heaven before you go because they know they're sinners and you think yourself righteous. Everybody this morning is here or here, everybody. I want to give it to you again. You're here or here. When you and I were born, we were born here. Psalm 14, 3, they're all gone aside. Psalm 51, 5, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. If this offends you and you're mad at my preaching, you are still here as a sinner on your way to hell. Revelation 21, 27, there's nothing that enters heaven that will defile it. You'd never leave here and come here until you realize everything you are doing here does not work. You trust baptism, you'll never be saved. You trust confirmation. The word is used twice in the Bible in relationship to Christian growth, not salvation. If you trust being baptized as a baby, then you have a problem because no baby in the Bible was ever baptized to go to heaven, including you. If you trust any work that you have done, you are not going to heaven. Titus 3:5, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. You will not fall over here. You will not end up accidentally over here. You must choose to repent of your sin, for except you repent, you'll perish. And place and transfer all of your faith and confidence in Jesus Christ, believing who he is, he's God, and what he did. He died for your sin, was buried for your sin, raised again for you. Preacher, I believe that. No, you didn't get it. Some of you this morning believe Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected. But you've never made it personal. Jesus died for me, died and buried for me, and raised again for me. This is history, you'll go to hell. This is reality, you'll go to heaven. You can agree, but never accept Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, it's an amazing thing, you that are here listening to me, how many people in pride would be willing to go to hell to save face? You may save your face and damn your soul. But if you'll forget your face and place your faith in Jesus Christ will save your soul, because this man praying seven simple words to a holy, righteous God as a sinner went home justified, clean, and forgiven. When did you change sides? If your answer is I have not, in a moment when we close, you can. For today is the day of salvation. Would you close your Bibles, please? The final thing I want you to know in 1 Samuel chapter 1 is she came seriously, submissively, specifically. And verse 12 tells us she continued in prayer. It means she prayed steadfastly. Matthew 7:7, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. All in the present tense. Romans 12:12, continuing instant in prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Songwriter wrote, just keep on praying till the light breaks through. Just keep on praying, he'll answer you. Some of you in this building have been praying for a lost husband, a lost wife. You've been praying for lost children. I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to quit. My wife was raised in a Christian home. Her father was raised in a religious home. At age 20, Joe Pantana heard the gospel of Jesus Christ by an old evangelist who they call the Walking Bible, Anthony Zioli. When Anthony Zioli began to quote the scripture and point people to Jesus and tell them, change sides, my father-in-law rose to his feet, my brother, and got saved by the grace of God and renounced religion, for it'll damn you, and got a relationship with Jesus Christ. For 67 years, he walked with Almighty God. He had six sisters that stayed religious. A little bit by a little bit, some would come over and get saved. The hardest one was Aunt Stella. She was almost 90 years of age. Many times we had witnessed. She said, my religion's good enough. My religion's good enough. I got word she was going to die. My preacher friend that I'll be with in October in New Jersey went to see her. He asked this question I'm going to ask you. He said, Aunt Stella, you know you're going to die. Is your religion good enough to die by? And I ask you all over this house, is your religion good enough to die by? If it's not, friend, you better get rid of it and get born again. She began to weep. She said, no. He said, would you receive Christ? Let me lead you in a simple prayer. Prayers don't save you. Jesus does, but prayer means you're asking. He started, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. She did not pray that. She prayed, dear Jesus, I'm a bad, bad sinner. Watch this. She changed sides. witnessed to her before, I'm okay. My religion's okay. I'm doing my best. But now she's facing the undertaker, and she realizes her religion is nothing and Jesus is everything. And she cried her way into the arms of Jesus. 3 weeks later, she's gone. Today, she's in the presence of God. How about you? I hung up the phone, and I said to my wife as she was sobbing, honey, how long did you pray for Aunt Stella? She said, dear, I prayed for Aunt Stella over 50 years. And I say to you, it's always too soon to quit. Talk to me this morning, church. Did Hannah get the answer to her prayer? His name, Samuel. Gift of God, ask of God. The same God who answered Hannah is ready to answer you. Are you saved? Could you prove from your Bible you're a child of God? This and I pray. Suppose Jesus was closing the service this morning. I'm sitting next to Pastor. He takes not the Majesty Hymn Book, but the Book of Life. He opens it and says, now, ladies and gentlemen, everybody whose name is in this book this morning, I'm taking to heaven. But if your name is not in this book, you'll have to go to hell from Brookside Baptist Church. He says, when I call your name, stand. And so names are being called. People are standing all around you. He calls the last name and shuts the book. Did he call your name? Can you prove from this book that your name is in the book of life? If your answer is no or I don't know, today is your day. Your day to come seriously and submissively and specifically receive the Lord Jesus Christ.